a very bruising game, Miles, and certainly a well-deserved victory. And by the way, it's the biggest result that Ireland have had over France. For I saw it today statistically, I just can't remember. But it's a long time since they won so well. You could say that it was a game almost of two halves, because up until the 30-minute mark, the French were definitely in the game. I mean, at that time, they led 6-0. Ireland came back with that strong period of pressure with when Conor Murray scored and converted. They did then give the opportunity of maybe kicking a couple of penalties up to go for more lineouts, but you know, that was the situation. But the 10 minutes of the second half, that was when the game was over. The French in discipline let them down. Sexton kicked the two penalties, and that, you know, took it into that 13-6 lead. And certainly then his drop goal later on after another penalty, that's sort of sealed the game. Jackson's final penalty, I think at that stage the French were gone. But it was a hard-earned result. It'll be very interesting just to see what the medical content is of the game. Rob Kearney went off and he looked in a bad way. Kearney now, unfortunately, shipping a lot of injuries. But, you know, from Ireland's point of view, they were lucky that Sebo could move to full-back and Trumbull come on and that one. So it didn't really weaken the back three all that much. But it was a hard-earned victory. Up front, it certainly was it was a real war of attrition, Miles. And you could almost hear the thumps up in the stand, you know, of what was going on. Pardon me, but... You know, the thing was that I'm sure the Ireland players had been watching maybe a little bit of the Wales-Scotland game, and, you know, a great result for Scotland, which really throws the whole thing wide open now. And one wonders in a couple of weeks' time when Ireland go to the Millennium on the Friday night, you know, will the Wales be down, or will the nation expect and demand, and will there be changes? There will obviously be a lot of changes made in that Welsh team, because I don't think at half time that the Welsh coach, Rob Howley, would have thought that Scotland would have turned it around so well in the second half.
No, a number of things to talk about there, but Ireland, they're not going to win it in the first 10 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes. Perhaps France were really, really up for this game. They have been more cohesive with their new coach, and they seem to be more united, and they have a massive pack.
Massive pack, Miles, and only in that last, you know... You could say the last quarter of the game when they started to tire, then we saw the penalties being given away, which they haven't given away in that first 40 minutes. And, you know, the big ball carriers, I mean, CJ Stander, I read a couple of papers today and some of them gave him big ratings. I thought CJ Stander yesterday, Miles, was, you know, for me, he wasn't in the game to the extent that one would have expected. The Welsh snuffled him out. Heaslip as well, although Heaslip in broken play, and even Sean O'Brien missed a few tackles early on, which nearly led to score. But I thought O'Mahony coming on, he only was on for about 15 minutes, but, you know, I think there was two or three times at the breakdown that O'Mahony was there, and I'd be very surprised against Wales if O'Mahony doesn't start. Be very interesting as well to see what Smith does. Ian Henderson come on, and he had a big physical presence in that last 20 minutes, you know, whenever Donoghue Ryan went off. Whether he decides to stick with Donoghue Ryan, maybe he plays Henderson in the back row. But there's so many options which he has. But certainly, I think the one thing that Ireland learnt yesterday, in a sense, in which they mastered at the end of it, was, you know, the ball carriers, you know, driving up the middle, that's all very well against weaker opposition. But as you say, against such a big physical pack, you know, you have to work and work and work. And eventually they wore them down. And as I said, that first 10 minutes into the second half, that's really when the game changed. Those two penalties of Sexton kick just changed the game. You could see the body language of the French going down. And really at that stage, Ireland knew that if they controlled the game, then they were home.
A bit of criticism of the Irish team in that when they do get into the opposition half, or certainly inside the 22, they're not clinical. They can't convert their opportunities. Would you see that as a problem?
Well, Miles, you also have to, you know, the thing is that against Scotland, we had the opportunities, you know, to win that game again up on the line. A couple of mistakes were made. And yesterday, again, there was opportunities to from 5 metres out, that we didn't consolidate and get over the line. You know, that's something that you're going to have to do against the likes of Wales and England. Any sniff that you get at the line, you're going to have to make sure that you get tries or points of some description, and that's one of the things. But still, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you consider we've beaten the French reasonably convincingly and we're still being a wee bit critical, I think means that it's very, very positive from Ireland's point of view. I might just add there, Miles, that Italy have scored their second try, and they're now, England are only leading now by 17 points to 15, and which has been a fascinating game to watch.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because one would have expected England to get their bonus point, their four tries, with ease against Italy. They probably will at the end of the day, but the fact that Italy are so close to them after what, an hour's play or so, it's surprising.
Yeah, well, England had two quick tries in the second half, but Conor O'Shea and his coaching staff have come up with something which I think it'll be the talk of rugby for the next week or so, in the sense of the breakdown situation. If you don't commit any players to the ruck or the tackle situation, you can actually spray offside. So the Italian forwards were actually standing beside the English centres in the out half, and they were totally confused. And at one stage, Hartley and Haskell went over to the French referee and asked him about it. And he says, "Excuse me, I'm a referee, I'm not a coach." And I think it summed it up. Now, they did get two quick scores, but nevertheless, it shows the vulnerability that England had in this particular game. And at the moment, that try there by Italy has certainly brought it back in. But, you know, Joe Smith, of course, will be watching this game, obviously, very much so, and the thing. And the England forwards, really, Miles, have been pretty pedestrian. And even behind the scrum, there's nothing really to fear. And Italy have shown that if you get in among them, what happens. And, you know, we're talking maybe 3 weeks ahead of ourselves. But nevertheless, if Ireland can win in Cardiff, then the showdown down at Aviva will be something else to see.
Well, you mentioned that now, 3 weeks, we're looking too far ahead. Maybe we'll first of all look at the action that's coming next. It's going to be Ireland against Wales and Scotland against England. No, can Scotland beat Wales? Sorry, can Scotland beat England, and can Ireland win as well against Wales?
Well, I mean, I watched a good lot of that game in Dublin yesterday, of that Scottish game, and at half-time you'd have thought to yourself, well, Scotland played reasonably well, but you would expect Wales to move on. But, you know, this Welsh team, it's, as we know, 75-80% of that team are the Glasgow side, and, you know, they play with that gay abandon, and they were just too much in that second half, and, you know, it was tremendous to watch how they played. And one wonders, or maybe worries a wee bit too, that when Gregor Townsend takes control of that Scottish team next year, and if he can get the same offloading and open play that Glasgow play with, who knows? And I would imagine that after this, even today at 63 minutes, England is only leading 17-15. I would say Vernon Cotter is looking forward to getting to Twickenham, because this is his last season with Scotland. And, you know, I'm sure the kilts are out at the moment and the bagpipes, Miles. And I would say the Scots will arrive at Twickenham and they will be very, very confident, having watched what they've seen today. As you say, England probably could score another try and get the bonus point. But it's a level performance for me today. It's very, very poor, and it just shows, you know, that there's no team that's infallible, as we've seen from them all.
How can Ireland beat Wales? How should they go about that game?
Well, I don't think they changed too much, Miles, from what they did yesterday. I think they've got to, the set pieces have to be the things. I mean, the Ireland line-out yesterday was perfect. They didn't lose a line-out. They won every scrum. I have to say now, of course, the talk of the whole week was who should play out half, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Smith went for Sexton, obviously the man with experience, and Sexton had an excellent game, and it was nice to see even he taking a few hits to come on, and that Paddy Jackson could come on the last 15 minutes to manage the game. So it's very, very important from that point of view that Sexton now has proven himself, especially, I think, psychologically against the French, because he did take a couple of hits yesterday, and you know, when he went down, one wondered what would happen. But no, I think that Ireland, if Ireland played the same game that they played certainly against France yesterday, Wales will not pose any more physicality up front than they have. And certainly, the Welsh must be in a bit of a downer, Miles, because it has not been, you know, they lost that game against Wales in the closing minutes, England, and then they lost pretty convincingly yesterday in the second half to Scotland. But as I say, who knows, there could be a backlash from the Valleys, and that's something that Wales or Ireland are going to have to cope with. But at this moment in time, you'd have to say that the Ireland team, and which team Smith picks, I think there will be a couple of changes maybe in the team. I think possibly Keane Healy might come back in again, because Jack McGrath, for the first time that I can remember in the first half, was under a wee bit of pressure from the French props. But nevertheless, there is such a strength and depth for them. Should have added the two young centres. Ringrose, I thought again yesterday, Miles was superb. I mean, this guy just gets better and better. And Henshaw, of course, will run through a brick wall, as I think I saw a few commentators saying today. But overall, and then, of course, it'd be wrong me not to say that the guy who probably stole the show yesterday, in a sense, and man of the match, was Conor Murray. I mean, it was tremendous, Murray's performance yesterday. And I think the one thing that people have to remember watching that game yesterday is, and you know, the connoisseur rugby would have picked it up, but you know, people watching the game would have thought, oh, Johnny Sexton had a great game yesterday. But one of the reasons that Johnny Sexton had a great game yesterday, Miles, was that he only got the ball from Conor Murray when he knew there was open spaces. He took the responsibility on so often to kick into the boxes, you know, and kick into the corners. And I think that just shows the maturity of Murray.
Suggestions today in some newspapers that maybe Conor Murray could be a Lions captain. Would you go with that?
Well, I don't think of Conor Murray. He doesn't strike me, Miles, as the sort of guy who would like to captain a team. I think he likes to be very much his own person. And, you know, there's been so many names now being bandied about. Of course, Owen Farrell has been mentioned as well. But I think as a scrum half, Conor Murray, I think at this moment in time, as a young man, possibly a future Ireland captain whenever, you know, Best and a few of the other guys retire. But I think I think Murray, give him his head and let him go. You know, once you start putting that pressure on somebody so young, and especially in a key position of scrum half, maybe then it could change his game. I can see where they're coming from, but I don't honestly think that Murray's a captain at this moment in time.
Okay, well, lot to play for, lot to look forward to. Not just the last weekend, the St Patrick's weekend, but action before that, obviously, as well. But we'll turn first of all to the Rugby Pro 12 victory for Ulster and indeed Connacht, but Glasgow beaten by Ospreys.
Yeah, and that sort of has opened it again. I watched the Ulster game, and I tell you, the first, they got into a 14-point lead, and the last 25 minutes of the first half was a horror show. They really, I don't know what happened, they got into this one, and they let Sebri back into the game. They eventually got themselves together and won convincingly, then getting the bonus point, which was very important. And Connacht, of course, as well, they got a bonus point against Treviso, but they're going to struggle, Miles, to get into that Champions Cup, even at the moment, because they are points down. Leinster, again, just sailing along, 54-22 against the Dragons. But the big shock of the weekend, obviously, was the Scarlets beating Munster. Watch that game on Friday night. They were coasting, and all of a sudden, then the Scarlets decided to score 3 tries in about 8 minutes. Turned the whole game around. So, from the provinces, Ulster, or the Irish provinces point of view at this moment in time, Leinster of 61, the Ospreys 60, Munster 59, the Scarlets 53, and Ulster's 48, but Ulster have the cushion of a game against the Italians, so they could well come up into the Scarlets part there. But there's a lot of rugby to be played in that Pro 12, and you know, from Leinster and Munster's point of view, they have got it's very important that they pick up the points at this moment in time, because both those teams are involved in the quarterfinals and possibly the semi-finals and maybe the final of the Champions Cup, and that's going to take its toll later on in the season. So it's important that they have enough points in the bag in case, you know, injuries and fatigue sets in towards that end of it. But exciting at Pro 12 at the moment. Glasgow, with that result today, look as if they're going to struggle to make a top four, and it looks now as if it's sort of between 5 teams, depending on how things go.
Yeah, it looks like that. I was just looking at the table here that you've called out. And Ulster, I suppose, will have it difficult enough to get into the top four as well. Themselves and Scarlets probably fighting for that last spot.
Well, they have two more. They have two. The next two matches are against the Italian sides, and one may be disappointed, Miles, if they don't get 10 points. Then they have they're away to the Dragons, and they're home to Cardiff. You know, those are 4 games that they'd be very disappointed not to win. And then, of course, comes the crunch of the matter. They're away to the Ospreys, they're away to Munster, and home to Leinster. So, you know, you've got to get the next four games, if they take maximum points from that, it does leave them in a position where they can challenge, because some of the top four teams still have to play each other, so therefore points are going to be dropped. But it's going to be a good exciting part of the season, and certainly everything's up for grabs. And I saw a quote from Ruin Pienaar, and the way he's playing at the moment, he definitely wants to be in a final of some description before he leaves, and it'd be lovely to see, you know.
It sure would. Okay, and it's important that we maybe mention the women's rugby as well. Six Nations today, Ireland defeating France at Donnybrook 13-10. And at Donegal, a girl from Fond, Nora Stapleton, playing out half, scoring 8 of the 13 points for Ireland. So another good victory. They're joint top of the table with England.
Yeah, well, she... I was just looking at Lucy Muldoon. She seems to, at the moment, not be... around the side, and also young Katie Norris from Cairn Donagh.
Yeah, she was around,
but at the moment they don't seem to be in the squad. Larissa was sub today.
She's sub today.
I was looking at the last team, but nevertheless, I mean, it's a great result, and especially, you know, with the Ladies World Cup coming to Ireland in June, it's going to make a big difference if the ladies team can really... you know, put up a big performance. But again, against the French, like the men are a big physical side, that's a tremendous result. And the ladies rugby in Ireland is going from strength to strength.
Yeah, there was a bit of controversy before this game today, because Ireland sent three of their players out to the sevens out in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And therefore they are trying to build from a number of points of view to have a good team for the World Cup, which is taking place in the summer, Belfast and in Dublin.
Yeah, I don't think that the Irish coach, Tom Tierney, Miles, was too enamoured. I read something on the Irish website about that. Mm-hmm. He felt that, you know, that they had to get that was the Six Nations at the moment, but you know, it's good to see that even without those three ladies that they were able to do the trick.